Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. Just one word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Thy wisdom and thy understanding. Though we lack the very love you show in the sun, Lord, we've altered in thy ways and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord.
Sunday afternoon. Happy Palm Sunday. This is Brenda Sanders, your program host. Welcome to the program, Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. Glad to be back with you again this Sunday. Let me first apologize for last week. The broadcast was abruptly terminated, and all that I can think of after probing as to the reason, it was that it was abrupt. It may have been a technical problem that caused the broadcast to terminate. I do apologize and hopeful that the same will not reoccur today. Well, welcome to this Palm Sunday. You know, I was really happy when I started reading the scriptures today. And I remember there was Palm Sunday. I guess that I had willed myself to talk about Palm Sunday, but instead I elected to talk about something else that led to Palm Sunday, and so I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But as I always say, this is a motivational outreach program. My goal, my gifting is to exhort, to give you a good word, a word of encouragement, a word that will motivate you to continue into the things of God. Because that is how we overcome. That is how we continue in the things of God. You know, we have a lot of things that will come to try to influence us to stop walking in our faith walk with the Lord. But we are not to stop. We are to continue. We are to pursue God with all our might. And Jesus, being our Lord, will certainly ensure that we continue in those things that will fortify our determination to walk with Jesus. You see, along the way, there are many distractions. There are many attacks, spiritual and physical. But we must adhere to what God told us to do and exercise our faith. And so motivationally, I come to offer those things from the Word of God and both from my personal testimonies to help you adhere to that walk. There are many that do not adhere. And when things get tough, they leave. They leave God and say, it's just tough. It's too tough to believe God for this victory or for this blessing. And so I'm leaving. Someone said that God doesn't bless like that. God doesn't do anything like that for someone like me. Well, that is the enemy's ways of way of getting you to abandon your destiny in the things of God. So motivationally, and this is a motivational gift found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that God gave to us motivationally a gift. I'm sorry, in Romans 8, verse 12, that he gave to us some to giftings. And the gifting is this: when you're down and out, there's going to be someone that's going to stand up and motivate you. They're going to have a positive word. Have you ever listened to, you know, different ministers? Some have a spirit of positiveness, a spirit that they are going to speak positively no matter what. And those are the people. I'm looking at Romans chapter 8, and I've called the wrong scripture, but I'll get it back here in just a moment. But they're uplifting messages that come not to condemn you, but to uplift you in your time of trouble, in your time of darkness. And so that is what I'm here to do. Now, there may be ministers that are going to tell you the truth, and that's their duty, because the Word of God, all of it isn't, easy to digest, because it talks of sin and there's rebuke in the Word of God. And so there are those of us who have different functions in the body of Christ, and I got to get the right scripture for the motivational gift. But in any event, we are called to do different things, and I know what I do when I get up to minister. Oftentimes, and mostly, it is to motivate. It may not be to rebuke, but I'll leave that to, and that's in Romans 12:8. He who exhorts in exhortation, you see, that is a motivational function, a motivational gifting from God. There are those who call to get up and rebuke and instruct and correct. But my function is to motivate you. And the only way I can motivate you is by my own positive testimonies or by motivational things in the Word of God itself, motivational examples. And I have come to that motivational example today, and it's found in Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. But before I get to that, let me read the theme scripture for this program. I read it every week, and it is as follows: for now we are looking in a mirror, It gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality and face to face. Now I know in part, imperfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I've been fully and clearly known and understood by God. And that is, God has promises to enlighten you about who he is and what he plans to do in your life. It may be blurred for a second. There may be confusion. There may be total darkness where you don't know anything at all. There's not anything to be confused about. And then there's a season in time where God will reveal himself and reveal truth to you. And then you can proceed in what God has for you. I think I said last week that I was cut off, so I don't know what part of the message you did not hear. But let me repeat this. God said to me one morning that you have to earn my truth. And I took it as relating to this passage of Scripture. Why are we made to earn the truth? I mean, there's a growing process. There's a preparation process where God, before he gives you that truth, will prepare your heart, perhaps, or prepare you to receive that truth. Why? Because when the truth manifests, you won't resist it and turn away from it and cause your destiny to be delayed. And I always say this, and I believe it is so true, that the greatest moment of denial is when truth is presented. Yes, it is. I mean, think back over your life when God told you something, like a lot of ministers I hear say, God said, I want you to pastor. And I'm like, no way. That is not me. I don't have the patience. You see, so when that truth is presented, there is a fleshly moment where we resist that truth and go in another direction. Well, I don't want that to happen to me. And so when I'm earning the truth, God is grooming me to receive his truth. And so when this blurred vision, that dark glass clears up and you receive the truth and you really see it, I want to liken it to a curtain opening up and you see what the truth is for yourself. Clearly, God does not want us to turn away. He wants to reveal himself. So in the bottom part of that scripture, he says he's going to fully and clearly know. We're going to fully and clearly know him, and we're going to understand, and he's going to understand us. And so when that clarity comes, then we'll be in a position to receive it and act on it immediately. I have entitled this episode Atmosphere for Blessing. Let me preface it with this. You know, sometimes when we are in battles, we are in situations that seem very adverse, it seems as though God cannot allow a blessing to be bestowed upon us. And it may be our physical circumstances. Maybe we're physically unable to get to a point where we can receive the blessings. It may be a spiritual walk problem that we have, a problem with our faith or believing God. Maybe some other negative event preceded something that where God wants to wants us to activate our faith. And our faith has been challenged at some point. But no matter what it is, no matter what the circumstances are, there is an atmosphere for blessings. And if you review circumstances in the Word of God given to us by the Word, I'm thinking of right now Mark chapter 5 and the woman with the issue of blood and Jairus, the ruler. And here again, in this passage of Scripture that we have, when Jesus, this is a Palm Sunday. Well, I was leading into the Palm Sunday message in Matthew 21, but just before that, I began to read the passage of Scripture about the two blind men sitting by the road waiting for Jesus and his disciples to move from Jerusalem to Jerusalem to go there and minister. But let me read the passage of Scripture very very quickly, starting in verse 29, and it says, "Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' So Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" And this is particularly what God said, because it's outlined in red. And it says in verse 33, "They said to him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.'" And verse 34, "So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." They followed him, the Christ. That's capitalized there, him. And so they realized who Jesus was before they asked him for the blessing. They knew his power. They knew his identity. You know, a lot of us are thrown off by that, especially someone who's called of God, an emissary of God, of Jesus. Sometimes we're thrown off by them. Well, they don't look the way we think they should look, or they don't look the way or talk the way that we feel that they should talk. And so we oftentimes persecute that which God sends to us because we are thrown off by something. We're thrown off by a deception we may have. We're thrown off by the way they look or the way they talk. And here, these were blind men. They weren't even able to see Jesus, do you understand? They were not even able to see his physical appearance or who he was in that regard. But naturally, with their eyes, but they had a spiritual infusion of revelation about who Jesus was. Why did they? Why? Because when they passed by, first of all, there's a great multitude. And, you know, in these passages of Scripture, as in when Jairus sought healing for his daughter that had died and the woman with the issue of blood, there are multitudes, a lot of people. And I don't know about you, I'm concerned about that sometimes. But, you know, God, when am I going to be blessed? There's so many people doing this and doing that. You know, where do I fit in that scenario? And so we are oftentimes concerned about that. And here there was a great multitude physically that probably as they thronged Jesus, I looked that word up as it pertains to Mark chapter 5. I mean, it's just like, you know, have you ever seen a person, maybe like what you're seeing now with the political rallies and so forth, a whole lot of people and surrounding a person. And as they thronged, that means they pressed in. I mean, it was just a pack of people to get through. And these multitudes were large multitudes. But we know that Jesus was with his disciples as well on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. But these two blind men sitting by the road had a lot of impediments, really. They did not have the physical or the spiritual impediments. They understood Jesus, whether they saw him in the natural or not. So they did not have that problem. A lot of times we judge people by how they look, and that's a problem that we have in our society. You know, they may be out, as Jesus was, among the prostitutes, and you'll say, oh, they couldn't be saved. But in fact, God sent them there to minister to the lost. And so we're moved by sometimes things what we see. Here, they didn't have that problem. Why? Because they physically did not have their natural sight. And so they had to lean on their faith in God. First of all, they knew who they were, who he was. They identified him as the one that could heal them. And they were able, I'm getting ahead of myself, to bypass, you know, all of those physical and mental obstacles that we sometimes have when we're seeking God. And then they had to bypass the multitude themselves. Of course, let me get there. It says, now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the road when they heard that Jesus was passing by. They did not have a deaf. You know, Jesus healed the deaf and the mute and the blind. They heard him passing by. They had sensitive. You know, those that are blind have a sensitivity, acute sensitivity to what is going on around them. It's like that sense is increased and inflated because it compensates for the loss of sight. They heard Jesus passing by, and they knew it was Jesus. And when they heard Jesus passing by, he cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. You see, they identified him. They didn't see him, but they saw him because they saw him with their spirit. And they saw him with their faith. Amen. They did not pay attention to the multitudes that were around them. They were calling out to the person that they saw spiritually, and they wanted an answer. They wanted something from them. They said, have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy. So they were praying to the Lord. They put their petition immediately before the Lord, immediately as he was passing by. And then in verse 31, it says, then a multitude warned them that they should be quiet. How often have we been in circumstances, and there are those of us, they may be, may have some superiority over us. They may be someone that is has authority over us, maybe parents. It could be someone in spiritual authority, a pastor, a minister. It could be a friend that's been in the Lord longer than you. It is, someone else that seems like they know more than you, but their faith has decreased. And while you may be in a very negative situation with a lot of obstacles, your faith is increased. Your faith is maximized. And that's what we have here. Some of this multitude, I don't know, it doesn't say who told them to be quiet. But someone apparently, I believe, thinking they were superior to these people, these two men, blind men, told them. In fact, the scripture says, warned them to be quiet. And so I don't know if they had a relationship with these two blind men, but nevertheless, here comes another obstacle. Someone that maybe did not see Jesus as the healer, someone did not have the faith that they had at that moment. And yet these people probably had their natural sight. They were able to see Jesus walking in their way and walking toward their direction. They were able to see the other people around. But yet they lacked something. They did not have the faith that these two blind men had. And a lot of times, let me tell you something, the more physically impaired you are, the more your faith and desire is increased. I know something about that. You know, I was just telling my sister yesterday, I said, how blessed are people who can walk around and don't take a second thought about your walking or your running. And that's how it is with people who have limitations. You think about every step. You think about every move, because why? That you may cause you harm if you harm yourself. And it's a different disposition, if you will, than the person who is not limited physically. It's a different mindset. And so your desires are greater. And when your desires are greater, then your prayer is more sincere, your faith is increased, and you are able to touch Jesus. And that is what happened with these two blind men. They've been blind. They're limited. They're sitting by the road. They can't see, but they know him as the Christ, as the healer. And they were able to bypass. Sometimes we got to bypass those of us that tell us to be quiet, those that warn us, that may even threaten us to be quiet. There's a time and a season when we must not be quiet. You must cry aloud and spare not, so that you can get what God has for you. And you're going to cry above the circumstances, no matter what they have. They may be physical, they may whatever. You're going to cry above those circumstances, and your cry is the emblem of your faith that Jesus sees even in the crowd. You know, even when he was in that crowd and the woman with the issue of blood, he turned around. That crowd thronged him then. And he said, "Who touched me?" Well, he knew. He asked the question, but he touched me. He knew the answer before he asked it. But there was someone in that crowd. Yeah, there's a big crowd. Yeah, they're up there first. They're up there next to Jesus. They're in his face. And that's sometimes how it is. You know, there are others who are up in Jesus' face and seem like they're getting blessed. You're back in the back, but God says, "I have blessed you this day. I have caused your faith to bring you a blessing to your house, to your home, to your family, to wherever you need it." Well, I know you thought those were right up in my face. Sometimes you don't have to be up in the face of the pastor or the preacher or wherever it is to get your blessing. Sometimes you're sitting in the back, and God will acknowledge you and render to you a blessing because he's looking at your faith, as he was with these two blind men. He was looking at their faith. And so someone in the multitude had the nerve. I believe they were looking down on them and told them to be quiet. And they said, but they cried all out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David." You see, they maintained their humility, but they did not abandon their faith when someone told them to be quiet. How it may have been an authority figure there in that moment leading up to Palm Sunday. Someone, I mean, you know, I don't know, a guard, maybe it was a, you know, whoever it was, someone told them to be quiet. What if they had abandoned their faith at that point and said, okay, we're going to be quiet? They would have missed their destiny to receive their sight. You see what I'm saying today? So if you're there out there today and you seem like you know, hey, I'm away from the action. I'm distant from the action. I can't get there. My physical mobility is not really intact right now. I'm away from the action. I don't know anybody right now. I don't have those kinds of connections right now. Well, I'm here to tell you. I'm here to spiritually motivate you today to tell you you don't have to. You can be away from the center of the action, and God can still bless you. Yes, he can, because God is looking at your faith. He's looking at your desires. He will bless us with the desires of our hearts. And he is about blessing those that see him for who he is. First of all, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, Lord. And call them son of David, who he was. They had the revelation of who he was and his abilities. And in verse 32, it says, so Jesus stood still. Wait a minute. They were moving. They were moving toward Jerusalem. He and his disciples and the great crowd. And it said, Jesus stood still. Stood still. You see what I'm saying? Our faith, our determination to get what God has for us, what calls us to rise above important people that may have or seem to have authority and power, it will cause us to rise above negativity, like with those people who told them to be quiet. It will cause us to rise above political, physical circumstances that may try to prevent us. Said that, like he did with the woman who had the issue of the flow of the issue of blood. Jesus said in verse 32, he said, so Jesus stood still. Something stopped him. What stopped him? Their faith. He heard something and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? He called them. Jesus is in his busy stance, in his busy circumstances, stopped first. You see, you can stop God with your faith and with your persistence. And with your crying out despite what others say, you can stop him and cause him to call your name and ask you, what do you want? What do you need? And it says in verse 32, what do you want me to do for you? You see, you do that with your faith. You do that. You might be in the back of the room, but God sees you anyway. He sees you, can hear you, because you're going to do it with your physical voice or whatever it is. Despite your physical limitations and your faith, because he sees that. And it says in verse 33, they said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be open. Hallelujah. You see, they did not hesitate. They knew what they wanted. They knew what they desired. He knew their desires, and he granted immediately their desires. They may not have been the most important people in the crowd, but God was able to pierce through all of that through Jesus and heal these two blind men. They said to him in verse 33, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. They didn't have to say much because God already knew what they had a need for. And he did what? Let's go to verse 34. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. You see, that's what I like about Jesus. He had compassion, and he was busy. Yes, he was busy. He was going into the celebration of Palm Sunday in Jerusalem, going to the Mount of Olives, and he took time to stop, call them, ask them what they wanted, and they still have compassion. He didn't say, I was too busy. I'm too busy. I ain't got time for that. He didn't say that. He stopped with his compassion and blessed these two men. Touched their eyes, you hear, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. So not only did they receive that physical blessing that they were looking for, they got a revelation. They received some spiritual insight about who Jesus was, and it was confirmed. And he inherited followers, and they began to follow Jesus as believers. Why? Because they had just gotten their miracle. And so we're not to lose confidence in those types of situations where we see obstacle after obstacle. It may be important people or powerful people. It may be those with negativity, those that don't see us as important. There may be those that have physical abilities and where we have physical disabilities. God is still saying, I will bless you and I can bless you, and you receive your blessings in those circumstances. Let me also read Hebrews 10. Verse 35 and 36, it says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. This is verse 36 of Hebrews 10. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You see, we have to endure through obstacles, no matter what they are or who they are. We have to raise our voice and declare that God is able to bless me and that he will bless me, and I will receive the blessing. I will not cast away my confidence, and that my confidence is going to bring me a great reward. Let me read on real fast. It's Hebrews 10, 37, 38. It says, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Wasn't Jesus passing by? He was on his way. It looked like he wasn't coming, but he was on his way from that road from Jericho to Jerusalem. And verse 38, it says, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. God blessed them. He had pleasure in him, in them. He had compassion on them. He was pleased with them because he did not let physical or social or economic barriers stop him from crying out and telling the truth and receiving the blessings that God had for them. Let me leave you with these few principles before I close out the broadcast. Do not look at physical limitations when seeking God's blessing. Do not look at social or economic limitations when seeking God's blessing. Do not let people stop you from seeking God for you. Do not let social influence dampen your faith. God wants us to persist with our confidence and our faith so that we will have the victory. We have to overcome mental and physical barriers sometimes to get our blessing. And Jesus is touched with compassion, which causes him to recognize our faith no matter where we are in life, no matter where we are situated in life.
it looks like the action is going on in the West, but God can bless us in the East when there's no one there but us. Amen. And God will heal us and spiritually revive us as well. So we, like in the instance of these two blind men, they got, you know, their healing. They received their physical healing of sight. But he was able to encourage and revive or fortify their faith in Jesus as Lord as well. And so much to the degree that when they received their sight, they got up and followed him. So they followed him probably into Jerusalem as well, along with the multitude, because they believed Jesus. And believe this, the last shall be first and the first shall be last, because our faith will put us there. That's found in Matthew 20, verse 16, right above that. Our faith is going to put us there. You might look like you last. You might look like you're blind and can't move and can't go anywhere. You might look like you have no social importance and there are others that will jump in front of you. But God has said and declared that you will prosper, you will be healed, you will be blessed, and it's going to be by your faith. Amen. So that is what I want to tell you today, that this Palm Sunday, that as we move through the rest of this season to next Sunday, know this, that no matter what, God is faithful to bless you. Well, thank you. That is all I have to say today for the program today. I thank you for tuning into the program as always. And you may go to the link at blogtalkradio.com/BrendaCareyInTheDark@gmail.com. If you have a question, if you have a comment,
yeah. A revelation will make a face. Bye-bye.